Module 11, Common Elk Hunting Challenges, Chapter 1, Elk Hunting Frustrations. This chapter has the ability to get long, really long. Elk hunting can be frustrating. In fact, it can be one of the most frustrating things you might ever experience outside of raising a teenager. Those frustrations seem to magnify the further you get into a hunt as the possibility of failure looms closer with each passing day. It's important to recognize that there will be frustrations and challenges as part of the overall experience. However, those challenges don't have to be what defines the hunt or ultimately decides the outcome of the hunt. The challenges, if dealt with properly, can become inspirations to push you harder. Then, when success does come, those challenges will be the very thing that makes the victory so sweet. If elk hunting was easy, or if it became easy after a few years, success rates wouldn't be in the single digits and low teens. I've hunted elk now for over 30 years. I still deal with challenges every day I hunt. The key to elk hunting success is learning from failures and learning to minimize and overcome the inevitable challenges that are an inherent part of elk hunting. Hunting pressure. Perhaps the most common challenge experienced in public land, over-the-counter, self-guided elk hunts is hunting pressure from other hunters. I'd personally rather hunt an area that only holds 10 elk with no other hunters than hunt an area that holds thousands of elk with 10 other hunters. Other hunters are just as entitled to be in an area as I am, but I don't like trying to compete with them for the elk. I recently watched the movie Everest, and one of the characters in the movie, Anatoly Bokriev, said, "We don't need competition between people. There is competition between every person on this mountain. The last word always belongs to the mountain." I feel the same way when it comes to elk hunting. We don't need competition with other hunters. There's enough competition for us from the elk and from the mountains. If we end up focusing our efforts on competing with other hunters, the elk and the mountain will have the last word. So how do we overcome hunting pressure? Some of this goes all the way back to the first module on planning your hunt. If possible, it's important to understand the kind of pressure a specific area gets before you commit to going there. But that doesn't always work out. Other hunters can get displaced at the last minute and end up in the same area you've scouted. I've personally hunted an area for several years without any measurable pressure from other hunters, only to find that when I switched to a different week within the exact same area, the pressure was insane. Get away from the crowds. For me, I found that the best way to overcome this challenge is to get away from the roads. I know everyone says this, but it's really true. Going back to Module 2 on scouting for your hunt, I look for areas that have the three things an elk needs: food, water, and bedding, and then I add in a final attribute of being at least a mile from a road. In the past 5 years or so, there have been more and more elk hunters who have discovered the solitude of the backcountry, and it's become more common to bump into other hunters several miles off the road. However, the backcountry is big, and the odds of finding two-legged competition once you cross the one-mile threshold diminishes drastically. Be at the trailhead early, be on the mountain well before daylight, and hike hard. This will separate you from 90% of the hunters, and generally provide you with a hunt uninterrupted by competition. Use pressure to your advantage. If you end up hunting in areas where there is unescapable pressure, you can actually use it to your advantage. Elk don't like to be pressured, so look for those hidden areas where the elk will be most likely to retreat when they get pressured. Study Google Earth and topo maps to find hidden drainages or steep, thick canyons where most hunters just won't go. Then, go there. For rifle hunters, pressure can be especially advantageous. Just be sure you're in front of the pressure and let them push the elk toward you. A natural funnel or escape route can be a great place to be sitting at daylight as the sea of orange makes its way up the mountain. Or find those areas where the elk will concentrate when they get too much pressure. The reason they end up where they do is because there isn't as much pressure there. And the reason there isn't as much pressure there is because it's not easy to get to. Ultimately, if you are running into other hunters, despite your best efforts to escape them, simply relocate. Unless you're willing to allow another hunter to determine the outcome of your hunt, get away from them one way or another. Don't let hunting pressure become your crutch for not being successful. Yes, it can be a frustrating challenge, but it doesn't have to be the cause of your failure unless you let it be. You might not be able to control where or how other hunters hunt, but you can control where and how you hunt. So, take control. Predators. In addition to the competition of two-legged predators, four-legged predators are another factor that can have a major effect on the outcome of your elk hunt. I feel predators are a natural part of the overall balance of elk herds, but I have seen firsthand how an out-of-balance predator population can wreak havoc on elk herds and elk behavior. Elk that live in areas with predators act differently than elk in areas where predators aren't a concern. They are more wary as they come into a setup, and they're often less vocal. I won't go as far as to say you should completely avoid areas where there are a lot of predators, but it is a concern worth noting and planning for. There are five predators I feel can affect an elk hunt: wolves, grizzly bears, black bears, mountain lions, and coyotes. Wolves. I won't get into the political debate about wolves in this discussion. There's definitely a political aspect to the issue, but for this conversation, I'll keep my comments focused on the effect wolves have on hunting elk and how to overcome it. In a nutshell, wolves are elk-killing machines. Even a large, healthy, mature bull doesn't stand a chance against a pack of wolves. Whether wolves affect the overall population of elk or not, they definitely affect the behavior of elk. The introduction of wolves into several Rocky Mountain states over the past several years has impacted hunting, no doubt. But it's not made it impossible, and there are still areas, even within units that hold solid numbers of wolves, where elk hunting is great. Wolves are continually on the move and continually on the hunt, which means the elk have become increasingly wary of danger. Their senses have to be on full-time survival mode, which makes it harder for elk hunters to get in close. Additionally, elk are no longer able to just hang out in one place during the rut and will often get pushed from drainage to drainage as they try to escape the nomadic wolf packs. Lastly, elk are often less vocal in these wolfy areas. A talkative cow elk or a bugle-happy bull becomes an audible dinner bell for nearby wolves. Elk have caught on to the fact that when they announce their location to other elk, they're also announcing it to the wolves. So what can be done to overcome this challenge? Wolves are most likely here to stay, and with their prolific breeding and unmatched intelligence, it's going to be tough to do more than just maintain their populations. With federal protections, eliminating them from the landscape isn't a very likely option either. I grew up hunting in Idaho, and Idaho is still my home state today. The areas I prefer to hunt are right in the middle of Wolf Central. I personally saw wolves while I was elk hunting beginning in 1999, and I've encountered them several times since. Since their reintroduction, wolves have spread to multiple states, and there are measurable populations of them in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Oregon. They've also appeared in Colorado, Utah, and Washington. If they're managed correctly, their impact on elk and elk hunting wouldn't be as drastic. But a high population of wolves definitely changes the way we have to hunt elk. If it's at all possible, make sure you research where the highest concentrations of wolves are. Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming keep pretty good tabs on the wolves, and a general map showing the range of each known wolf pack is available in those states. Be sure and reference the web version or the app version of the University of Elk Hunting online course for distribution maps for Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. If you end up in an area that is being frequented by wolves, it might mean that your previous scouting is no longer valid or accurate. As wolves push elk around within the units, you may not find elk in the areas you found them in the past, or where your scouting led you to believe you would find them. Lastly, you probably aren't going to get as many responses to your bugles, especially from long distances. Bugling seems to happen more in closer quarters, if you can get the elk to bugle at all. A few years ago, we had several elk on preseason trail cameras. On the first morning, we spotted several bulls in the canyon we were planning to hunt. However, our desperate bugles and cow calls didn't elicit a single response from any of the elk. Finally, after moving inside 150 yards of a large herd bull, he finally let out a soft, low, short growl. Then he simply rounded up his cows and moved out of the area. My bugles were a sounding dinner bell for the wolves, and the elk were understandably anxious about hanging around. After finding a lot of fresh wolf sign, we decided we also needed to relocate. So we moved camp about 10 miles down the drainage and instantly found a pocket of very vocal elk activity. Grizzly bears. Grizzly bears are also prolific hunters. Similar to wolves, an area high in grizzly population can make the elk more wary and less vocal. Additionally, of all the predators, grizzlies are the ones a hunter needs to be most concerned about when it comes to their safety. I won't go into all the safety precautions that need to be taken when elk hunting in grizzly country, but there are a few things to consider that could affect your tactics. Being prepared for camping in grizzly country is important, as is being prepared to process and pack an elk out of grizzly country. Again, for this conversation, I'll keep my comments limited to how grizzlies can affect elk hunting tactics and what you might need to do to overcome the associated challenges. Similar to hunting in wolf country, elk in grizzly country can be a little less vocal than they might otherwise be in areas where grizzlies don't exist. Grizzlies are big, powerful predators and can easily take down full-sized elk. When an elk bugles, it knows it's alerting the predators. In addition to often being less vocal, elk tend to move around more and travel farther. It's not uncommon for elk in grizzly country to feed and water greater distances from their bedding areas. Hanging out in one small area would make them an easier target for the bears, so they'll often travel farther in the mornings and in the evenings. Calling can definitely still be effective, but I would limit my calling when I'm hunting in grizzly country, and I don't usually sit in one area and call for too long. If I sit around blowing my elk calls repeatedly, I've also become a target for a grizzly, so I definitely tend to call less than I normally would. Once I do get an elk to answer, I've found they'll be more likely to just bugle and run, so it can become a game of cat and mouse. However, once I get in close, it's game on again, and the elk seem to respond well to the calls. Again, I'm usually more concerned about my own safety when I hunt in grizzly country and less concerned about how grizzlies affect my elk hunting tactics. However, they can have an effect on how the elk behave, and it's often necessary to adjust tactics based on that behavior. Black bear, mountain lions, and coyotes. I think it's safe to lump these three predators into one section. They all hunt in completely different ways, but their effects on elk populations really aren't too drastic, especially if they're kept in check. A high population of bears or mountain lions might cause the elk to be a little more skittish, but it usually doesn't affect the calling as much as a high population of grizzlies or wolves. If anything, the elk might be a little more cautious as they come to the calls, but I haven't noticed much of an effect on their behavior overall. Black bears and coyotes can have a pretty profound effect on calf survival in the spring, and elk populations can be stifled when there's an overpopulation of either, especially bears. Overall, though, I don't worry too much about hunting areas where there are black bears, mountain lions, or coyotes. The weather. Another way nature can wreak havoc on elk hunting is through the weather. Weather during September and October seems to be at a transitional point, so there's a lot of instability and unpredictability. This can have an effect on elk behavior, and although there isn't a thing you can do to change or control the weather, knowing how elk react to certain weather patterns can be helpful. Heat. The most common weather system archery elk hunters often have to deal with is heat. The hot, dry days of an Indian summer can definitely stifle the intensity of the rut. Cows head to the bedding areas earlier in the morning to avoid the heat, and they spend more time in the cool retreats during the day. They also leave later in the evening to head back to their feeding areas. This creates a narrower window of opportunity for elk hunters. When it comes to a hot, dry climate, The one thing I found that seems to have the most effect on the Elkra is not actually the heat, but the availability of water. A lack of moisture throughout the formative months of antler growth, like May through August, is often blamed, and rightly so, for smaller antler growth. This is especially noticeable in drought areas where elk are dependent upon spring and summer rainstorms to provide critical green grasses for feed. However, even more important than the drought's effect on antler growth is its effect on rut activity. During seasons of extreme drought, elk behavior can be altered drastically. Not only are elk movements completely altered, but the bugling action is often quite limited, and the intensity of the bugling and rutting action can be greatly decreased. In situations like this, it's still possible to have a great hunt, but the main thing you need to find is a reliable source of water. The elk will likely be concentrated around this area, and a concentration of elk during September can definitely improve the rut. On hot, dry years, find the water, and you'll find the elk. Rain. Speaking of water, heavy spring and summer rains can actually create problems as well. In states such as Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, etc., where the effects of drought are dealt with most frequently, rain is a good thing. But in the mountain states like Colorado, Montana, and Idaho, too much rain can cause elk to be spread out and not concentrated. This might lead to more smaller herds, many of which might end up being tended to by younger bulls who will try like crazy to keep their harems away from other bulls to prevent losing their cows. In addition to annual moisture affecting the behavior of elk, it's important to consider how excessive rain during your hunt can affect the elk, as well as your ability to access the elk. Elk don't like to be wet any more than we do, so it's not uncommon for elk to hunker down and be fairly quiet and immobile during heavy rains. You certainly don't have any control on the weather, but knowing that elk are going to be brushed up in their bedding areas and possibly not traveling as much during the rain can help determine where you need to go to find them. Also, keep in mind that roads you were able to drive 45 miles per hour on just minutes earlier can often become skating rinks and mud bogs in an instant. Previous winters. Another important factor to consider when it comes to the weather is the severity of the previous winter and the associated snowpacks that linger into the spring. A hard winter, particularly in a mountain state, can be rough on elk herds, especially if the winter hits late and extends longer into the spring. Oftentimes, elk are reliant on their fat reserves to help them survive until nutritious green grasses start sprouting up in the spring. During a late winter, freezing temperatures can delay the green grass and cause elk to starve to death due to a lack of viable feed. The effects of hunting an elk herd that's been hit hard by winter kill can be quite noticeable. What I've found to be the most noticeable about hunting an elk after a hard late winter, though, is their location during the following fall. During the spring, the bulls move up higher on the mountain to spend the summer. The cows will also move up the mountain a ways, to the areas where they will have their calves. They'll end up spending the rest of the summer in these calving areas where there's ample feed and protection for their growing calves. These areas are where the bulls eventually come to find the cows and establish their harems during the pre-rut. On a year where there's been a lot of late snow in the spring, the cows will often end up calving at lower elevations, which means the rut will often occur at these lower elevations in September as well. A few years ago, after a particularly rough winter in Idaho, I returned to an elk area I'd hunted for several years. It was one of my old standbys, and I didn't need to do much scouting. However, I did place 4 trail cameras in 4 different areas and checked them the week before the season opened. To my surprise, I had less than 20 elk total on all 4 cameras. The previous summer, I had well over 100 elk just on one of the cameras in the same location. I'm not sure if it was stubbornness or hopefulness that caused me to stay in that area when season opened, but either way, it didn't change the fact that the elk just weren't there. After 5 days of looking in every hidey hole I could think of, we finally relocated. Fortunately, we found several elk about 20 miles down the drainage and managed to fill our tags on the last 2 days we had to hunt. It turned out well, but it also reinforced the fact that you have to find the elk before you can hunt them. and weather from 9 or 10 months before elk season can have an effect on where you find them during elk season. For the most part, elk will rut in the same general areas year after year. However, it's important to consider the previous winter as well as the current moisture situation as you begin to fine-tune where you're going to hunt each season. Moon phases. Another natural cycle that often stumps elk hunters is the moon phase. As summer fades, the days grow shorter and tension builds among bulls. They split off from their summertime bachelor groups and begin staging for the upcoming rut. During this transition, elk begin to seek the security of cover for longer periods of time. As the moon grows from a new moon to a full moon, elk spend even less time out and about during daytime hours. With the added pressure of hunters now taking to the woods and the bright full moon, elk become more nocturnal and use the moon's illumination to feed and rut at night, and seek refuge in thick cover to rest during the day. The combination of heat and a full moon can spell disaster for conventional dawn and dusk elk hunting tactics. The window of opportunity during this time can be very small. Even when you have a solid idea of where the elk will be found at first light and are able to position yourself as close as possible to get set up, it can be very frustrating to find the elk already on the move and headed back to their bedding grounds. Be sure to go back and re-listen to the section on hunting the middle of the day. That section, called Stay on the Mountain, is in the Miscellaneous Elk Hunting Strategies module. Hunting during the middle of the day can be especially effective during a full moon. Oftentimes, during the middle of the day, herd bulls will get up to stretch their legs, check their cows, or visit a nearby wallow. This is the perfect opportunity to slip in close to the elk's bedding area. Even on the hottest of days, and despite a full moon, midday hunting is often the key to turning a slow hunt into an action-filled rut fest. Cloud cover from unpredictable mountain storms can drastically decrease the moonlight during the night, which can also help increase elk activity during the day, even during a dreaded full moon. Rain from these storms can instantly change the attitude of previously quiet bulls, so be sure to take full advantage of cooler, quieter elk woods, even during a full moon. What moon phase is best for elk hunting? As elk hunters, we don't always have the luxury of hunting during the prime week each fall. We're often forced to adapt to whatever moon phase and conditions happen to exist on the days we are able to hunt. However, if you're able to pick the best week to hunt elk, it's important to understand how the moon might play a part in your success. Backing up just slightly, I want to mention one important factor to consider, especially if you're trying to plan around the timing of the rut. The amount of light that enters a cow's pupil is what actually triggers the estrus cycle, or the rut. Of course, not all cows come into heat at the same time. The older cows usually start first, with the younger cows coming into estrus later. However, cows are generally triggered to come into estrus and cause the peak rut period within 5 or 10 days of the fall equinox. The fall equinox is the day when the daylight hours and the hours of darkness are of equal duration. For 2019, the fall equinox occurs on September 23rd. So if you're looking for the peak rutting action, the 18th to 28th of September should get you pretty close. The fall equinox typically occurs between the 20th and 24th of September each year. Personally, I prefer to hunt slightly before the peak of the rut. The days leading up to the peak rut typically find the bulls establishing harems and more aggressively fighting to establish their dominance. Once the peak rut kicks in and the bulls begin focusing more on breeding, calling herd bulls can become a little more difficult. To find the perfect dates to hunt, though, I also need to consider what the moon's going to be doing during this time frame as well. In 2019, there are full moons on August 15th, September 14th, and October 13th. Looking at September, you'll find that the moon will be mostly dark during the first week of the month, then gaining brightness, and eventually hitting full moon at the end of the second week. For a complete reference to this year's full moon calendar, be sure and check out the app version or the web version of the University of Elk Hunting online course. The information provided in this audiobook refers to 2019. For early season hunting tactics, including finding mature bulls still hanging out away from the herds, I'd target the dates between the 1st and the 8th of September. There won't be very much moonlight, which will be a good thing, especially if it's coupled with warmer weather and limited rutting action that's common during early September. Early season elk hunting can be productive, especially for spot and stalk, sitting water, and yes, even for calling. And 2019 should be a great year for hunting the first week of September from a moon phase standpoint. Jumping ahead to the second week of September, the 9th through the 15th, the moon is rapidly gaining brightness as it reaches full moon at the end of this week. This week is often my favorite time to hunt bigger bulls, as they're starting to establish harems and often provide some really aggressive bugling and call-ins before too much public land hunting pressure really kicks in. This week, coupled with a great moon phase, can provide an incredible week of elk hunting action. However, in 2019, this week will be the worst week from a moon phase standpoint. As we transition into the third week of September, the 16th through the 22nd, the elk hunting action should really be picking up. The full moon's now behind us, and the transition from full moon to new moon can often provide great elk hunting opportunities. If the second week ends up being hot and dry, many of the bigger bulls may also wait until the third week to really start roaming and rounding up cows. So there may still be some opportunities for hunting the really aggressive, responsive bulls during the third week. Additionally, the moon phase coincides perfectly with the fall equinox this year, and the timing of the rut shouldn't be affected by extra moonlight as it's been in past years. If I had to pick a Monday through Sunday week to hunt elk in 2019, this would be it, and you should expect some incredible calling action during this week. However, if I was able to take off a Friday through Sunday week for my week of vacation, I'd probably opt for the fourth week of September, the 23rd through the 29th, for the most bugling action in 2019. Many of the herds will be established, and the rutting and bugling action should be incredible as we embrace the fall equinox on September 23rd. The moon will be going to complete darkness with a new moon on the 29th, so from a moon phase standpoint, this week should also be absolutely prime. Keep in mind that the herd bulls will be heavily focused on breeding cows during this week, and it may be harder to call them away from their harems. However, there are several elk hunting and calling tactics that can be very effective during the peak rut, and overall, this should be a fantastic week to hunt elk if you're choosing a week to hunt in September. Just as a note, 2019 will provide one of the best moon phase fall equinox combinations we've seen in several years, and the second half of September should be really, really good. If we get some cooler weather during this time, elk hunting should be incredible. Rifle seasons in many states open during mid-October, so it's important to recognize what effect the moon might have on elk behavior for rifle hunting as well. For 2019, the moon will be hitting full brilliance right in the middle of the month. With the full moon hitting on October 13th, the elk might opt to hit their feed sources more in the cover of darkness around the middle of the month, especially if there's mild weather, and even more likely as hunting pressure increases. With the full moon landing right around opening day for rifle elk hunting in many states, the elk are going to be likely less visible during daylight hours, which can make for slower rifle hunting. However, depending on the timing of the peak rut in the state you plan to hunt, you might find some decent calling still going on through mid-October, so don't completely overlook the middle part of the month. Again, for reference calendars to the moon phase for each specific year, be sure and check out the app version or the online version of the online course. The week of October 20th through 26th should bring a great opportunity for rifle hunting, especially if we're lucky enough to get some cooler weather. The moon will be waning and going completely dark to a new moon on the 28th, so this week will provide mostly dark nighttime skies from a moon phase standpoint. As we transition into November, we'll be gaining moonlight during the first half of the month, so early November might still be a good time to catch elk feeding for longer periods of time during daylight hours. However, if there's some unseasonably warmer weather, elk visibility might decrease a bit from the 9th through the 16th. During November, you can often count on relatively cooler weather at some point, and the elk will also be transitioning from the post-rut to late-season behaviors. A lack of moonlight could help hold the elk in feeding areas a little longer in the mornings and bring them out a little earlier in the evenings. As with any post-rut and late-season elk hunting, targeting primary feed sources that the elk will be concentrating on will be the key. And for more information on hunting elk during the post-rut and late season, be sure and listen to Module 15, which is devoted entirely to hunting elk during the post-rut and late season, with detailed tactics and strategies for increasing your success. From my experience, hunting the days after a full moon as it leads into a new moon has consistently held the best huntable bugling action. If that phase also happens to land during the days leading up to the peak rut, the pre-fall equinox, as it does this year, even better. Think the 18th through the 25th of September in 2019. Don't completely overlook opportunities to chase elk during a brighter moon phase, though. If you're forced to hunt during the second week or the first part of the third week in September of 2019, midday hunting could be pretty insane. Understanding the effects of the moon phase on the elk rut is important, and it can help you plan not only when to hunt elk, but also help you understand how to hunt them as well. Forest fires. The last nature-related challenge I'll mention is one we deal with on a regular basis here in the West, and that is wildfires. Wildfires during the hot, dry months of July, August, and into September cause a lot of problems for elk hunters. Even if the fire isn't in the exact area you plan to hunt, road closures and/or area closures can keep you from accessing many surrounding areas. Even if you can access your area after the fire, the elk may or may not still be in there. If a fire burns really hot and decimates the feed and the cover the elk rely on, there's a good chance you won't find elk there, sometimes for several years after the fire. However, when a fire burns spottily through an area and leaves patches of timber where elk can still find cover, those areas can be great locations to find elk, sometimes just days after the fire. With nutrients and minerals still found in the soil, tender shoots of green grass will often begin sprouting up immediately following a fire. With fresh feed and ample cover, fresh burns can be great locations to find elk. There are a couple of great resources for keeping track of your hunting area throughout the summer and monitoring the fire activities in multiple states. For current forest fire activity, you can check out fsapps.nwcg.gov and look at their active fire maps, or go to insiweb.nwcg.gov. That's insiweb.nwcg.gov. However, my favorite resource for monitoring current fires, as well as seeing the effects of previous fires, is at geomac.com. Just go to www.geomac.gov/viewer. You can also refer back to Module 2 on scouting for your elk hunt for detailed information on using the Geomac maps to monitor current and previous fire activity. Links to all of these resources are also available by checking out the online version or the app version of the online course. Backup areas. As I mentioned in the beginning of this chapter, elk hunting can be frustrating. There are so many things within our control that can and do go wrong, and when we add in all the things that are seemingly out of our control, it can get somewhat overwhelming as we try to deal with these challenges. One of the most important things I've learned from all my years of failures is to have several backup areas. And don't wait 6 or 7 days to leave your primary area if you aren't able to hunt it effectively. I've found that being mobile allows for a quick relocation if I'm not finding huntable elk in a certain area. I use Google Earth to research potential hunting areas, and I identify 8 or 10 areas that look promising. These areas are all identified, ranked in order of potential, and then transferred to my GPS or my mobile GPS unit. If I don't find elk in one area, I move on to the next one, and I keep moving until I find elk. Having multiple backup areas is critical, especially when we consider how many factors there are that can change or completely close an elk hunting area overnight. Outside of these natural challenges that can have an effect on elk hunting, there are also several challenges presented by the elk themselves that can make elk hunting frustrating.